Right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 65. Six.
Four.
Four. First try. I'm your host, Blue Squadron, at joined as always by Jaekoon.
Hi, my name is Jaekoon. I'm an Awakening Wisdom Maid with 765 gift score. I do a lot of endgame PvE content, such as Olens, the dungeons. I've been exploring a lot more PvP lately, mainly AOS, and have been having a lot of fun. And you can find me over at twitch.tv/JaekoonVTV before the T.
All right, and my boy Blonde.
Hi, I'm Blonde Bear. You can catch me at twitch.tv/Blonde Bear, where I like to party. Finished with my merchant ring, so we're just kind of exploring the BDO world, working on our Devil Rings, you know, just chilling out and having some fun.
All right. Yeah, we have a lot to be excited about this week. I'm the one that's about to fly to France. But we have the ball coming up here in the next few days, and we have lots of predictions to do. And things to talk about. So our topic today is going to lead off with the Heidel Ball and kind of what we're expecting here. Let me just lead off first because I know that Jay is going to be bricked up when I tell him this.
What?
There is a video that I'm going to be reacting to after the podcast.
I saw it. Yes. I saw it already. People were linking it.
I was like, wait a minute.
It's so good.
Yeah. So there's a video that was released of the new dungeon zone. Somebody snuck their way into the new dungeon.
I know that guy. He sent me pictures a year ago.
He weasels his way into everywhere. Anyway, he made a video about it. We'll be reacting to it after the podcast here. It'll probably come out tomorrow with the podcast on my YouTube channel. High chance we probably get that dungeon, right, guys?
Well, actually, that video, he was in there like a year ago and DM'd me about it and sent me the pictures. So that's actually he's been in there for a long time. Yeah. I was surprised he didn't wait till after this next week. Yeah. I was like, oh, wait for the ball. We get the ball and then they announce it or not. And then if they don't say anything about it, then you could show the pictures or the video or whatever. Because then it's like, well, PA didn't announce it. So I guess I had to release the footage. But
it makes a good point.
Shot it too early. But
maybe I react to it. Then I wait till after the ball, and if they do the dungeon, if they have the dungeon at it, then we drop it, and it's like it's the most clickbait shit ever. And then he gets more visibility, and I eat. This is a win. We're both eating, even though he screwed up and released it too early. I can fix it.
I can fix the timeline.
Yeah,
I believe in you.
Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. But like, so things we're most excited about the ball. Blonde, why don't you go first? What are you most excited about?
It's probably going to be any announcement for the new region. I feel like they've already talked about Land of the Morning Light 2, so that's going to be the prime cut probably from the ball, but they're going to probably be teasing something else. I think there's going to be more. They're going to talk about something off in the future, so I'm just excited to hear about whether or not like Land of the Morning Light 2 has more than just the, because we don't know really much about it, right? All we know is that it's going to have more boss blitzes and a new Phoenix boss or something. I'm really curious if they announced that there's any grind spots or anything else to actually do on the island. And oh my god, a Dokkaebi chest event too. That would be that would be so great.
No, god, please, no.
That would be so great.
no more Dokkaebis. I refuse. We're done with Dokkaebi chests. That's an interesting thought that will never happen. Note, cut that out in post. Jay, what do you think?
Well, Blonde took mine, but I'm still going to say the same thing. It was new region releases. I mean, one of the biggest aspects of Black Desert that appealed to me was like how big the world is. And so like when I first logged into the game and, you know, pressed M to show the world map, you know, I was blown away and overwhelmed with how much there was to explore. And then back in 2019, I actually completed the exploration section of the knowledge tree for like, you know, before the requirement of the Pavino Greco's adventure log. I actually finished that before it became a requirement for that log, just for the fun of us. And one of the coolest places that I saw was like east of Arihaza, which was like off the coast into the ocean. And I could see like land, like east of Arihaza, so like the world of BDO could be even expanded upon there, maybe possibly. And so I mean they're also, I'm also really excited because this place, right, Land of Wonderland Part 2 Seoul, like this is they're basing this next area off a sort of like historic, I guess like feudal era of Korea. So I'm sure like the company who is Korean based is like really excited to share something that is kind of like culturally personal to them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's always like, I don't know what the feeling is, but so like an example would be like, you know, when my friends who are from a different culture than I am, they came over for dinner when I was younger, and my mom's Filipino and she makes the best traditional Filipino food. And when I saw them enjoy the food so much, I felt like really proud that they're enjoying and appreciating the food from my family's culture. And I don't know if there's a specific word for that feeling, but I feel like this is kind of that same vibe by this Korean based company releasing a region inspired from their culture for other people to enjoy. So I'm thinking, hopefully like there's going to be love put into this next region, and I'm excited for us to experience it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure that there will be a tremendous amount of love for it. I can't believe you guys haven't actually talked... Oh, God. I can't believe you guys haven't actually talked about the Boss Blitz, like, group. Boss Blitz Boss stuff Blitz that we're going to get.
Well, we and can the get reason... into that.
Well, it's, yeah. It's,
you can get into that.
Yeah. Well... I'm actually really excited for that. Wait, why are you guys saying it that way?
The way I see it is getting excited for a feature that sounds cool on paper. I'd rather wait to see it. Because what's going to happen is if your expectations get high because you're like, this sounds awesome. And then it comes and Blonde. It's not awesome.
Blonde, stop.
Listen, you know.
Blonde, you realize that you literally just said, I'm going to play the game whether the content is good or not. Right? This doesn't encourage them to make actually good content. Okay, you want to get excited about it because you want it to be good. If it's not good, then you wince, cry, beg, and moan until it becomes good. Okay, I'll be honest with you.
I don't think I'm their target audience, right? I think there's a different target.
As toxic as our PvP scene can be, they do get one thing right. And that's when they're mad about something, they let Pearl Abyss know. Okay? If they don't like something, they speak up. It's not like the life skillers. Oh, no, we'll live with it for the next 6 years. It'll be fine. This is fine. I can just swap characters. I'll just have alts for all my different life skills. It'll be okay. You know what I mean? Like, no, stop. So, like, I think it is important to get hyped up about stuff and get really excited about content being good. And then if you're disappointed, you get to be a toddler. About how you complain, you know what I mean? That's just how it is. That's part of the game. A decent part of the game is like just sitting in voice with your friends and complaining about it. Like, as much as we love the game, but like there's a large portion of the game where you sit in Discord and you complain about all the hours that you have to grind, or like the enhancement constantly downgrading, and not one time are your friends like, just stop playing. Like, it just doesn't happen because we all love the game. It is what it is. But, like, at the end of the day, we're very excited. So I'm super excited for the Boss Blitz content because I think it opens the door for potential raid content in the future. Hopefully. I think it's their first attempt at raid-style content where you
complex
have to...
group content.
Correct. Right? Where you have to get together with your friends and perform tasks. I'm hoping that they looked at something like Destiny 2 and learned off that. Because the raids in Destiny 2, every single person has to be doing their job. And if you don't do your job, everybody wipes, right? That's what I want out of my content in BDO. And like, what they don't understand is they're honestly too forgiving with a lot of their mechanics, right? Like, you can lose like three people and like one person could finish it on their own in the current dungeons. You know what I mean? So like, really hoping that content is truly exceptional. I'll be honest, I'm not really sure if we've had the dungeon around for a while, I'm not really sure we're actually going to get the dungeon again. And I'll be honest with you, there is zero excuse to have the dungeon be this long between the third and fourth part.
I actually talked about... Oh, you're talking about waiting for the fourth one. I thought you were talking about actually running the dungeons. I was talking with some friends about how they could condense the dungeons. I feel like if the fourth dungeon gets announced, the way they're going to do the...
But
the
I want
cut
to condense
down would
them.
Be really you love running around and having to juggle all the pieces in your inventory, and then we're sitting there, it's like, who hasn't put their puzzle piece? Who are we waiting on? Answer, that's your favorite part.
That's but hey, running around and exploring and doing mechanics I think is important to
I agree,
right?
No, I 100% agree.
The problem is you need to make mechanics that are fun to do hundreds of times. In Destiny 2, I'm just going to use one of their first raids, the Kallus raid. It was really good. Leviathan was amazing.
Oh, it was so good.
Because
holy frick.
It wasn't just Kallus that was good, right? It was like the bathroom. Yeah, it was like the shower room or the bathroom or whatever you want to call it. The dogs were really well done. And then so it was basically every encounter was really, really good. And you were forced to do it every time you did the raid, and you got meaningful rewards after each boss, which made you want to go do that each time. Vault of Glass is another good one. Last Wish was an incredible raid as well. You just always want to keep doing those. In our dungeons, it's can we skip it and how? Because they don't get... every boss needs to give like a chest of meaningful rewards. And I know, make it RNG. Yeah. Just open the chest and honestly, the rolly boxes. Open the chest. I want to see the loot just explode out of the box. I really do. I just want to see the loot explode out of the box and I want to go pick it all up. Right? Or you can just have it add to my inventory like it's a piece of loot and I picked it up. Like, that would be cool, too. Like, I like the idea of walking it. Like, I think that Erythia's Limbo is actually a good example of this. You walk into a room, it's full of treasure chests, and you're, like, actually excited. Because you're, like, opening each chest, and you're like, oh, where'd it go? Oh, no. Where'd it go? Feels good. No. Right? Yeah, it feels good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the kind of raid content we want to see. And, like, I think that they got that from the raids from Destiny, because they're looking directly at Destiny. When they interviewed me for a job at Pearl Abyss, they asked me how they could go after Destiny 2's like player base. This was many years ago, but like that was when they were developing the dungeon in the first place. Like, I think that like they could make a raid that looks like this, you know what I mean, of like five or six people, and like you have to go through and you have to do it all at once, and like you have to figure it out, you know what I mean? Like, imagine our dungeon, but all four parts had released at the same time. Like, that would have been crazy hyped. That would have been so cool. And everyone would have been rushing to get through it. Maybe you release one part a week or whatever. But, like, everyone would have been trying, like, to get through it the first time. And then we could have had world firsts and stuff. I'm waiting to do a world first event. I'd love to do one. For the new dungeon would be fantastic. Assuming that Korea doesn't just get it first. For no goddamn reason. Like, that would infuriate me, bro. Mainly because that content can be spoiled. And it will be spoiled. It's not okay to release content that is like spoilers. Same thing with the new region. It must be released worldwide. If it releases in Korea first, you've completely destroyed your entire game. It does this. Odalita, when Odalita came out in the West, none of us were excited. Like, okay, we got it. There was like barely even a bump in players because we already knew what we were getting. Korea had already had it for 9 months, right? Like, it was already like super obvious what all the mechanics were. Like, nobody really cared. Like, Land of the Morning Light, I believe, released in Korea first, right? Or did it release worldwide?
It was Korea first, yeah.
Yeah, it was Korea first. And again, that killed part of the hype for that expansion. The reason Land of the Morning Light was so big is because Lost Ark shit their pants. Right as Land of the Morning Light released in the West. But I'll be honest with you, this, we're going to release it in Korea because it's translated first, can f*** itself. Like, respectfully, or just honestly, disrespectfully, please, for the love of God, you have to release that kind of content worldwide. Otherwise, you kill your game. We're the ones that pay your bills. Like, the West pays for your game. It's not Korea paying for your game. I understand you developed the game in Korean, but translate it. That should motivate them to translate the game faster. It's just that simple. How long was it? Ulaquita. Oh, we're going through translational issues for Ulaquita. We had to wait like 2 months to get Ulaquita.
That was crazy.
Yeah, bro, we're talking about like we're talking about the translational equivalent of like maybe 15 pages, single-paced pages of text. Like nothing. Okay, literally nothing. And by the way, don't tell me it was the main storyline that wasn't translated, because the main storyline came out first, if you guys remember, and then we got the region. It wasn't even the main story holding them up. It was like the items and stuff. Like, come on. Like, get it done. Like, this is obnoxious. Yep. Hire more people. Get the job done. Release it worldwide. That's what every other game does. You got to stop this Korean release stuff. It's very frustrating for your player base. But enough about complaining. We're on hype mode right now. What else are we looking at? I'm actually curious what's going to come for the PvP scene. I'm curious if they're going to double down and say that we're going to remove open world flagging. Or if we're getting a Siege rework. Like, I'll be honest with you. I don't think that they change Node Wars and then don't change Siege. Doesn't make any sense.
Really?
Doesn't make any sense to me. No. No, they made a big hoopla last time in the Node Wars. Like, last time they changed Node Wars, they were like, we want it to imitate Siege so that players can understand those mechanics before they go into Siege. Well, now they're completely different, right? And they're not going to leave it that way. And they're certainly not going to change Node Wars. Siege is about to get blasted too, if I had to guess. As for the new class, do you think it's going to be Succession, Awakening, or Ascension? Blonde, I'll start with you.
I'm hoping it's Ascension. I just think the classes flow smoother. I know people have a bit of nostalgia for the Awakening Succession side of things, but I think there's a way to do Ascension that works out like in PA's favor, so there's less balancing. There's already, like, what, 46 classes if you cut every class in half, and I just think that it would just be better if it's Ascension. Because we always have these issues where, well, Awakening ends up being strong, like for Draconia, for example, like where we have Awakening being, like, really busted, and then Succession is just, like, you know, yikes. And we have this, like, weird imbalance because they have both skill trees, but one of them only has one of the skill trees. And so to nerf the Awakening, we have to nerf the pre-Awakening, and it just gets complex. I feel like Scholar's, like, a prime example of a class that flows really well together. Regardless of the balancing with its numbers and PvP and whatnot, the class flows really well. It feels really good, and there hasn't had to be overcomplicated balancing because they found a way to merge both of the trees together and have it flow all the way together. And I think that can be done in a bunch of ways. So I'm personally hoping this is a succession or an ascension, because I think it just works better and it's way easier for balancing. But I don't know, because Megu and Wusa were Awakening and Succession classes where they got another weapon eventually.
All right, Jay.
I prefer the Succession Awakening route, just always, just like having two different specs, whether it be like weaker or stronger, like, you know, like performance wise, like, I mean, balance is just something that's going to always be like, regardless if it's, even if it's an Ascension class, like Scholar or whatever, balance is just going to be a thing that's going to be constantly be, you know, analyzed and adjusted and whatnot. But, you know, for me, I'm always about the gameplay, right? More than the performance. At least, and I just love the gameplay of both Succession and Awakening, just having those two options. Scholar, although the Ascension, right, you mentioned before, like, it might be easier to balance in that way, but I just think there's no way we can really balance things. If anything, like, the imbalance makes it fun, whether you're playing a strong class or a weak class. Like, there's like different aspects about the class that people enjoy. People don't always care about like the performance. Like, for me, like, I've always just loved the place of Awakening Wusa, even though I understand it has, like, performance issues for certain aspects of it. It's just mine's more about the gameplay, and having Succession and Awakening gives me more gameplay options.
I lean towards Blonde's thinking. I think that Ascension is just stronger. I think it flows better. I don't think that balancing is necessarily, like, I would agree with Jay that balancing is, like, whatever. I think that Ascension is just easier to approach for players, but there is some merit into what Jay is saying. Like, part of the reason that people like Succession and Awakening is you can play a class that you really like the theme on in two different ways. And Scholar doesn't have that, right? If you really like the two hammers on Scholar, well, you're still using the sludge hammer, as it is, you know what I mean? So, like, there's some merit into what Jay is saying. I think that there should be a healthy split. I actually don't mind if it's Succession or Awakening or Ascension. Doesn't matter to me. Either way, are you guys planning on actually playing the new pipe class when it comes out? Jay, are you going to play it? It looks like it's right up your alley,
dude. The aesthetics are, like, right up my alley. Like, Wusa, he has, like, a very similar Wusa aesthetic, and I love Wusa, and so I definitely want to try him out.
Yeah, he's male. He's Wusa, but, like,
male Wusa.
Yeah. And Blonde, are you gonna play him?
I'll definitely try him. The problem for me is, like, I have a very specific flow with classes, and if it doesn't flow with me, then yeah, it just depends. So I'll definitely give it an attempt. The problem is we need more character slots. I'm literally, like, every season I've had to delete and remake and delete and remake. So
yeah,
hopefully they do a character slot with that one. And because the season, well, they just handed out a season ticket, so it's like, well, now I can't use the season ticket on him. So it's like, I guess I'd make a fresh one and figure it out from there. But I hope the if because my prediction is that we're gonna have the ball Saturday, and then literally Wednesday they're gonna be doing the Light of the Morning Light 2 and the new class reveal as like a secret patch, and so then we'll get to try it. So I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. I definitely want to try it for sure, so I could just tag it, I guess.
Yeah. So I'm gonna be in Europe when it releases. Here's a hot take. I think that no shot. Okay, I'll come back to that in a second. I think that it's gonna release while I'm still in Europe. I think they're gonna release it the week after the bowl.
Yeah, I think so as well. Mm-hmm. So they did last year, right? They literally like it was like. What was it? It was Scholar was announced, and then Scholar came out 2 days later. So I think that they've talked about this class, you know, 6+ months ago, and I think they've prepped it all and they're ready to go.
Yeah. Hopefully, is the idea.
Hopefully.
Yeah. It's a male class. I probably will try it and make like a chooser. I'm actually curious if it's going to be a flanking assassin, a frontline, or a backline DPS.
I think it's going to be a ranged. I think it's going to be a caster.
I think it's going to be a caster too. Yeah. I think it's going to be a caster.
What is it? Musa 2.0? That'd be so boring. Like, no. It's got to have, like, you're basically going to be shooting beams out of his little saber. You're going to be shooting, like, lightsaber beams or something.
I don't think it's going to be an archer. I think it's going to be a caster. I think that he's going to cast spells. Like, a lot like Wizard and Witch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like Wizard and Witch. Mm-hmm. I think that would be pretty cool. Maybe he has like a fire beam sword. That would be pretty cool. Like a little fire sword comes out, like Warlock in Destiny would be sick.
That would be sick.
Yeah. Regardless, I do think that it's going to come out. What are the predictions for when you think the expansion is going to come? Because we know we're going to hear about the expansion. Mm. We're very excited about it. That's kind of in their like traditional cycle here. But like, when do you think that we're actually going to get it? Realistically speaking, the expansion itself. Release days.
Next week.
Ha! Oh my goodness. Wow.
No, Korea doesn't even have it yet. Again, we talked about this.
Guess we'll see.
Well, I'm hoping final quarter of this year. Hoping.
Yeah. Really? You think it's going to be that long?
Yeah.
No, like shot, three, bro.
4 months is what I'm thinking.
Bro, didn't we predict Devil Rings were going to be coming out in August, and they came out like, what, 4 or 5 months early? Bro, they got this stuff way ready to go. This stuff's going to be popping out before the end of summer. And then, by the end of the year, they're going to have the fourth dungeon coming out, bro.
I think... Well, my idea is if I predicted way into the future and then we get it sooner, I'll be happier.
Yeah, this stuff isn't coming out for years, guys.
Bro, this is the blonde bear strategy. Set the expectation bar like impossibly low, like James Cameron making a movie about the ocean levels of low, and then just step over it because they can't disappoint you. Like, no. I think we get the class the week after the ball, and then I think we get the expansion at the end of next month.
They would want to release the class and that's the expansion at the same time so that new players would land into the Morning Light with the new character, right?
Well, is that what they did with Megu and Wusa?
I don't know about that. That one came out, I think they came out, what, 6 months before it, actually?
Yeah, see? Like, I don't think they'll trickle feed us.
They're gonna do the same thing they did with Megu and Wusa.
I think they're gonna trickle feed it to us. I think we're gonna get the new class. We're gonna get a surge of players, and I think it would be smarter to do it this way too. I think if you release it all at the same time, you're just gonna get a mess of players.
Too much to do.
Yeah, it's gonna be too much, and you'll get less players overall. I think that you'll get a lot of the returning players coming back to play the new class because that's what happens when a new class comes out, right? And then you get the new players. Like, once that class has been figured out, people have had time to make guides and stuff. Because, like, you got to take this all comes into consideration. Like, a new player wants to pick up and play a class, and he's going to need guides and stuff. He's going to need help along the way. And this will give, like, the veteran players time to kind of experiment with the new class. Not a crazy amount of time. It'll still be new. But, like, I think the end of the month, next month, expansion drops, and then it's crazy, dude. Like, I think the new class into the expansion, you get another huge surge of players, and I think those players are typically the new players that we love so much, that like are trying the game out. It's like, okay, well, there's this new expansion, there's group PvE content now, there's this new class I might like, right? Because BDO's diversity of classes, a lot of people Well, it comes under a lot of criticism, to be honest with you. A lot of people criticize how many classes we have in the game, but I'll be honest with you, I think they should just keep making classes permanently. Just keep making new classes. I don't care if there's 50.
Mm.
I really don't. Because to me, the way that I see people getting attached to BDO is they fall in love with one of the characters, right? Or one of the classes, right? This is how it worked for League too, right? The reason League is so successful is because there's a character for everyone. Right? Like, there's a thematic that can jive with just about everyone there is. And so, like, the more classes we have, the wider player base we can hit. And BDO does such a... As long as they keep nailing it. I mean, they have to, like, bro, Megu and Wusa and Scholar and Draconia, those classes nailed it. You know what I mean? Like, look at Awakening Draconia's theming. You have, like, the whole dragon thematic going on. And in Succession, you have, like, the power and, like the durability of a dragon, and then in the Awakening form you have the fire and like the attack power that a dragon might have, but you trade off some of the squishiness. Megu and Wusa are themed expertly. Like, these classes are extremely well designed. They feel really fun to play, and if they keep nailing it like that, I absolutely think that they should just keep releasing classes infinitely, because there's more of a chance that more players will discover the game and say, oh yeah, I really like this. Oh wow, this is a great class. This is fun to play. You know, and then they dive more into the game. I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on it? Blonde, do you think that they should keep releasing classes like that?
Yeah, I think I'm at the point where I've realized that, like you guys said, balancing is just going to be something that always exists. And although I wish they were better at it so that people on the sort of competitive PvP side would be more satisfied, I feel like it's just going to be a never-ending battle of, like, figuring out what works and what doesn't. So setting that aside, I think that is one of the biggest appeals, is people finding a class that really matches them. Because, like, for example, I played Zerker basically since the inception of the game, and I never thought I'd ever find a class that like I would like. There's tons of aesthetics that I like in other classes, but I'd never played another class like this. And then Scholar came out, and I haven't been able to stop playing her, because the flow and the way it feels and everything just adds up to like a really fun experience. So I'm definitely a proponent of, like, just, yeah, keep pumping out classes, which is why it leads into my other thing of, like, the Ascension. Like, instead of taking one class and splitting it in two, you could just create a new class based on an entirely new theme and then really go deep into that theme, rather than doing like hints at a theme and not really being able to flesh it out more. I feel like the Ascension lets them flesh out those themes more. So if we were to just keep pumping and pumping and pumping new classes, like, that would be like the tie-in to the Ascension. But like, this also has to come, if we were to get like, yeah, up to 50 plus classes, I feel like there's got to be like, you know, I know this is another topic, but a universal weapons, like not just a third tag, but like just like the life skill stuff, it needs to all just be equipped, and then I can log on any character and play it, because that's what the game's about. Imagine if you could play every character in the game, like, and you know, spin a wheel, you play a new class for the day, like, that'd be awesome. It sucks for the PvP side because of meta or whatever, but I mean, PvP's dead. So, oh well.
Oh my god. That's what you're getting.
Sorry, Bucko. All the new players hate PvP. Sorry.
Well, we found the inflammatory comment for the week. thanks for increasing our interaction, Blonde. What a hero. I think the argument that you shouldn't make new classes because of balance is irrelevant. Because the game is not meant to be balanced necessarily. The idea is to get close-ish to a balanced play state and then mix up the snow globe again, right? Like, you want to get as close as possible to a balanced play state. Like, right now, think about the balance in the game. Which class is overtuned? Awakening Draconia, right? But is everyone playing Awakening Draconia? No, but there are a disproportionate amount of them. But if they nerf Awakening Draconia, aside from that, what are the other classes that you feel like are
next
just
best thing?
Yeah, what are the other classes that you think that are just too strong right now? Like, to be honest with you, I think their balance overall, and this is a hot take, they're doing a pretty decent job, with the exception of maybe Draconia. I would just honestly rather them focus on, like, again, the new classes are fine. It's going to shake things up. I want to see them shake up the snow globe very violently for all of the classes in the game, so that everybody feels like there's something fun and new and like something to discover on their class again. Which brings back, by the way, brings back all kinds of players, right? Like, if you do something like a class rework, like they did a number of years ago, oh my God, people who haven't looked at the game in years are like, yo, wait, hold up. Did they fix Mewa? You know what I mean? Like, that's like, that's what they're, that like they'll come back to play the game. So like I'm actually at the ball. I'm kind of hoping that like I know that the Ascension kind of narrows the specs down. I would love if it's not a complete other spec, I would love an expansion on like the skill tree would be great. I would love like
I was just gonna say Jay's always talked about like that for a long time. One of my favorite points I love to hear from Jay is like how like similar to like the Witch Wizard succession tree where you basically are using the ability and then at the end you get to choose like one of two abilities and you get to like specialize in a certain thing. Jay's always talked about like, oh, more stuff into that. And you know, you pointed that out. It's like that would be really cool if like, yeah, you could like heavily invest into something in your skill tree that gets more specific to your like catered taste. Like, oh, I want bigger AoE for less damage, or I want more damage but in a smaller spot, or you know, vice versa, right? That would be really
I always love talking about so Diablo 3 was one of my most favorite games when it first released, and
it was probably his first Diablo.
It was my first Diablo too, and I still hated it.
I love Diablo 3, but they had a mechanic in Diablo 3 where so Wizard in that game had this laser beam like disintegrate, right? And you could choose between like five different runes for it, and one made it like thicker and girthier, right? And then it did fire damage, or one like did a conal effect but turned it to arcane damage, and one made it thinner but longer, but it made it cold damage, right? Stuff like that just like alters the like the base effect. And let's say for Witch, right, I always talk about how, oh, Voltaic Pulse, like what if they had sort of like that sort of like rune system or whatever where Voltaic Pulse, instead of being a 360 AoE, became this like conal effect or a line effect,
like
augments in like different ways. It's not necessarily better, but just gives you different more options. So Voltaic could be like a long range line AoE instead, or a conal AoE, or
just like that, or stuff has like that.
It starts like, you know, it does a suck you know CC or whatever. So yeah, stuff like that more for skills would be really interesting to see. And again, the balance stuff, right, things will always be like not everything will always be balanced, but I think sometimes it's fun like that. I bet you that's why some people play Draconia, is because it is strong and unbalanced at certain times and stuff like that, and the unbalance can be fun sometimes. And that's what happens in League 2, I think, whereas when they shake things up, like these classes suddenly come out of nowhere because they're really strong all of a sudden, and then things keep changing and the snow globe keeps shaking and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's still not an acceptable use of the word girth at the end of the day. It is what it is. I do think that exactly what Jay said. I would also love, here's the deal. Do you guys remember when they said that they were going to release like the Black Star colors?
Yeah.
Yes, they said, like, they had a roadmap. They had a roadmap in April to release it, and they just did
April 2026. Yeah, April 2026.
April 2026. Yeah. Damn.
We didn't. It's our fault. We didn't ask which April. April? Honestly, on us, to be real. But like, I think that at the ball, the most hype thing for me would be like, hey, if you get to 5,000 skill points on your class, and it only works the first time, so if you reroll to another class, you can't get it with that. You have to do it all over again on another class, right? You can't just like roll your combat skill points around. Like if you get like 5,000 skill points on a class, it changes your effects to green. Right? Like
visual
like
effects.
Yeah. Like or 4,000, right? You know, it's got to be something that people can grind for. Like people would literally
show that you're somebody who just didn't who just didn't roll, they like spent time and dedicated time to that class to really achieve that much experience and time spent being on that class, you know.
That's my point, bro. Like I think that that kind of stuff would be really cool. Cosmetic. I want to see stuff cosmetically. Doesn't necessarily increase my gear score. Doesn't necessarily increase my stats. I will do it anyway. Okay. The compass did not really increase my gear score. If anything, it hurt my gear score because I could have grinded someone way better. But I grinded it for 4 years because I wanted the compass. But like, so I like stuff like that. As far as treasure items go, okay, yeah, we have a bunch of treasure items. Expand on them. You know what I mean? Like I said, the Orzeka set. If you get 10 Orzeka chest pieces or 50 Orzeka chest pieces or some obnoxious number, you can change it to like a green glow or something, and you get like a different title. Right? This takes like 10 minutes for an intern to do and we would do it. That's the funny thing. We would absolutely do it. There's not even a question. We would do it. Jay's like, I already have 50 of them.
Cosmetics. Yeah.
Yeah. Jay's like, I would just put it on day one. But like anything like that would be incredible. I think that, I don't know. I think that overall, release date for the expansion, you're looking at the end of next month. I think that the class releases almost immediately, which is kind of a shame because I'm still going to be in Europe. So I'm going to miss a lot of like the hype that is kind of around the class. But hey, what it is what it is. You guys got to hold down the fort while I'm gone. Yeah, I'll get it done. What else are we thinking? I want to talk about quality of life updates. What quality of life? Well, actually, Jay, what do you want to say?
Oh, I was just going to mention about how, like for viewers who don't know, this year's Heidelball is, you keep talking about like going to Europe and like and stuff. It's being held in France in this like little town called Bénec-Cazenac, and it's actually the exact town that Heidel was modeled after. So it was like really cool that they were able to host like the venue. Me and Blumber were talking earlier before you were on call about how much does it cost to freaking rent a castle for a weekend? And I'm like, I'm not in that like.
Oh. Jay,
money field to understand how much money.
Jay, you were not at the first Calpheon Ball. You have no idea.
Really?
The amount of money that they budget for this stuff. At the first Calpheon Ball, we were like, don't forget your goodie bag on your way out the door. And these dudes had a backpack filled to the brim. There was a $300 headset in there. There's a hoodie in there, plushie, all kinds of shit. And then they gave away graphics cards, processors, computers. And by the way, that wasn't all. They were like, Jay was like, we had more money in the budget, so everyone just gets a $100 gift card.
What?
Like, that's what we were like, okay, wow. Sounds good. Like, they just handed us, like, it was nuts. Yeah, you should go next time. Like, it was nuts, man.
Why didn't I go?
Yeah, tough shit, okay? All right, for only $2,000, you can still make it. Well, that's to fly there and back. You can live like a homeless person.
Fly there, $2,000.
Something tells me that it's gonna be a little different this time. Last time we stayed in like a four and a half star hotel, something like that. And this time I looked at the hotel and it is a 3-star banger. So I'm expecting to roll up and have them hand me a lantern and walk me to my tent. That's basically where we're at. Like, I don't know if that's, it's,
you're not staying at the castle. What?
It might be safer there. Unironically. We'll see. I don't know. I don't want to judge until I get there, but like, we'll see.
You'll have the inside look, right? Cause you'll be streaming it.
I've stayed at 3-star hotels before and they were rough. I'm not gonna lie. They were rough, but like, I'm a simple man, so I don't really care. It's not going to matter to me. What is going to be really cool is getting to meet all the EU creators and all the EU fans out there. Mm-hmm. You know, people that play the game. How often do you get to walk outside and actually meet someone that plays Black Desert Online? Like, it all just time. Doesn't. Your wife doesn't count, you stupid. Look, just because.
Does your wife even play?
Blonde Bear is even carried. He's RNG carried in real life because he found a wife, dude. Like, this dude is carried in and out of game. At least Jay is only carried in game.
What?
So far.
Yeah.
So far.
Well, out of him. I mean, Jay, you're going to find a nice guy someday. He's going to be great to you.
What if I already have one? Okay.
Oh, God. Okay. Quality of life updates. Well, final thing for the ball. Final thing for the ball. What do you think the best quality of life update we could get for the game would be that they could announce? Last time, I nailed it last time. I said family-wide life skills, and I nailed it. So I'm curious what you guys think this time. Blonde?
Family-wide gear wheel.
That was mine! You took mine!
Mobile has it.
God, you're such a loser.
I'm just saying, mobile has it, and everything mobile has, we seem to kind of get a little bit down the pipeline, so...
No. Okay, here you go. You ready for this? I'm sorry, Jay. That was my prediction anyway, so...
Okay.
Here's the thing. Do you guys see this? They have family-wide life tools right now, right? Just like this?
Uh-huh.
I think the combat one's going to be the same thing. I think they're going to let us load our accessories and armor in there. and then we're gonna be allowed to have gear presets. So like there'll be like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you can just apply the gear preset you want on that particular character. And it should also link to your crystals too. So like you can link that gear preset to that crystal preset. So when you click on this gear, it will equip that crystal preset as well. I think that's
an all-in-one preset.
I think that's the reason that like we got the life skill update and it looks the way that it does. I'm pretty sure because they're developing something very similar for gear in all likelihood.
Because tagging seems more of like an EXP thing now more than a gear thing. The item copy is just like a side effect, right?
Oh no, I think that they're gonna exclude weapons. I think it's gonna be armors, accessories, and crystals, and maybe your skill preset. I don't know how they would do that though. Like I think it's gonna be armor, accessories, crystals, and then maybe consumables too. Like it may preset your fairy to pop certain consumables for you if you have this skill. But I think that they will probably keep tagging the way that it is. Personally, I would love if they just did the weapons too, and then I could just play whatever character I wanted.
Play whatever class I wanted. Yeah.
Like that. Like, why can't we do that right now anyway? Who cares at this point? Like, I understand why they did it before, but I mean, I think that they used to focus a lot more on solo progression in the game. They used to focus more on character progression in the game, but we're getting away from that now. That's like a thing of the past. Like now it's family progression, right? You have, but it started with the adventure logs where like your entire family sees benefits, right? And then we saw like, again, family-wide life skills is another big update that basically all of that like individual character progression doesn't really exist anymore. You can tag characters together. So like now if you have like a really low level character and you want to just level them up very quickly, you can just tag it to your main character with no gear and then go to Gyphon for like 2 hours. Boom, it's level 60. You know what I mean? Like it's a piece of cake. I think we're getting away from like individual character progression and we're moving more towards long-term family progression. Oh yeah, family-wide karma. Boss alts go hard. Well, of course they do. Of course they do. Like, we're not saying to remove alternate characters. God, no. That would be crazy. So you still have your alternate characters, but on those alternate characters, you can... Oh, boss alts go hard. He means with the gear.
Yeah, I bet he means with the gear. Gear score on
your
alts.
Oh my God, bosses would actually die. Wait a minute.
they do die. They do die.
Oh my God, it takes so long. I remember days where Kudum's like, it's going to be 15 minutes.
Oh yeah, like Kudum definitely takes the longer ones.
Yeah, we're big chilling.
Undercloud Kudum, just that 30 minutes goes hard.
Yeah, Newmer dies. No, they die fast. No, my sweet summer child. When I say fast, I mean 15 seconds. 15 seconds. No, I'm not joking. Do you guys remember when there was a Newmer? Yeah. There used to be like a Newmer event. Where back in the day, like they doubled the rewards and then they doubled how much they came out with like the Garmoth questline and stuff. And it was like this big this boss reward, like the world boss event. And I remember if you were not at Nuver when it spawned, you
were
weren't
not
making it.
Killing it.
You were not touching it, right? Like also when the Bartali log came out, if you were not there for like 2 months. If you were not standing at Nuver or quit or when it spawned, like it's lagging out of its mind. Everyone's standing there and we quit with spawn. He stomped one time and the dude vaporized. Like, and that was it. God, did I hit him? You know what I mean? Like, that's how it was. I'm hoping that, honestly, in terms of quality of life update, I really do think the next big quality of life update we're going to get. And I was really good at calling the last one because I said family-wide life skills. I do think it's going to be gear, like a gear wheel, like a combat presets for your gear that looks a lot like this life scaling thing, but it's much more expansive. So you can program in. So a lot like the life tool thing down here along the bottom, you could click on your crystals that you want to be equipped, the preset on this character that you'd like to be equipped, and like, you know, the consumables that you would like running when you click on this preset option, all that stuff, and then you could just click a button and everything like changes for you, and it's everything just, and then you just go green. Like, I think that's probably what we're gonna get, or that's what they're gonna announce that they're working on, and then we'll get it in 2027. because that's how long it's going to take to develop at the end of the day. So Jay, what was your what was your thoughts on like the
next kind of covered everything that I was gonna say as well. And so yes, agreed.
Oh my god.
We've been talking a lot about like what we're looking forward to, but are there any things or aspects from past balls that you would like to see again? Because they haven't been doing this recently, but I really liked when they like showed like game statistics of like, oh, who, what is the highest level, or who, you know, has the most merch trains and stuff. I love those sections. Yeah.
The infograph. I remember how much we were raving about the infograph. Both Jay and I think it was Tiltus with us last time, wasn't it? Or was it Blonde? We were like, bro, we love the infographs. They're so cool. We love watching the infographs. Yeah. And then they didn't even do it. They didn't do it at all. It was Blonde. They didn't literally do it at all for the ball. And we were like, Sag, like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right, bro.
Those are cool to see.
They do it then, and they do it for the anniversary too. But yeah, they didn't really. Yeah, it was kind of annoying.
I love stuff like that. That kind of like showcase and like celebrates the adventures of video, right? And so, there. Do you have any like things from past balls that you didn't like? Because there was one. I was like kind of like skimming over the past balls, and there was one particular ball where they had this really awkward Q&A section from adventures around the world, like, you know, they speak different languages and stuff. And they had an opportunity to ask Jay, the main producer of BDO, a question, right? And they had a bunch of translators for all the different languages, like Japanese, Thai, German, and, you know, all those languages. And it would be live translated back and forth. And it sounded interesting on paper, right? To have people around the world connect to ask Jay about the game. But we literally had to wait for each person to ask a question and then have it translated to Korean for Jay to respond back in Korean, which would then be translated back to the original language. And sometimes the askers would have like connection issues, so there's even more delays and awkward silences. And the section ended up lasting so painfully slow. It was like literally an hour and a half of that Q&A. Yeah. That and recent balls recently. Right, like BDO Festa and the Calpheon balls, they lasted like two and a half hours at most. And this one section from that ball, right, the ball was like 5 hours long because that one section was like an hour and a half to 2 hours. Oh my god, it was kind of. There's one moment where there was one question I just remembered. The devs had revealed this llama mount for the Shy, like in an earlier presentation of that ball, and then there was somebody who decided to use their question, right, a question from the main producer of Black Desert, to ask if the llamas could be breedable. And like, no offense to that person, but like, I just wish that the question was just like a little bit less niche.
Jay, you don't understand.
You know, a chance to
the thing I hate. Do you want to know the most base thing they could do? Yeah. All right, we're gonna do a quote Q&A right now. We're gonna have Blue Squadron up on the stage. We're just gonna hand him a microphone, and I'm gonna ask Jay questions. Watch me cook. Like, what? Just watch me. They don't have the balls. There is not a chance. They don't have the balls. Like, I think that they, like, the Q&A section, as Jay said, you're spot on, man. Like, the Q&A section is always just complete bullshit. They cherry pick the questions. They're ridiculous. They're shit that nobody cares about at all. The butler, the clown butler, is really scary when I spawn that. In, and it's disturbing me and giving me nightmares. Can we please tone that down? Yes, we'll make this a top priority. Like, what the hell are we talking about?
Was it, you know, as much as you guys make fun of those people, that's like your average video gamer. Like, I agree with your sentiment.
These are my viewers, being like bro.
End game hardcore player, but that is your average BDO player. And that's why when you think of like, who's their target audience for this new weird update, that's who you're talking to, which is okay. You know, BDO is available to so many different people and players, but listen, that's who they're advertising this game to. Just saying.
Yeah, it's always just complete garbage. The questions don't get like, there's no like solid, but it would be okay if one or two of those questions. I understand trying to appeal to players.
It was a lot of them.
Yeah, I understand like one or two of those questions because you actually show the player base. Yeah, we listen to the little guy. You know what I mean? But what about like the like the bigger people, you know what I mean? Like the bigger groups of people. Like, are you gonna field large scale raids at some point? Like, please field that question. You know what I mean? Like, what, like, what is holding us up on this? Because it sets us apart from other MMOs.
The dragon mount right? that you promised us?
Yeah, where's the dragon mount for Siege? And he'll just be like, after we rework it, careful what you wish for. Like, careful what you wish for, losers. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to see them like actually address some solid questions, but it's more often than not, the Q&A is usually just horrible. If they just handed the audience microphones and allowed us, it's just too random. I just don't think that they're going to allow Jay to have to field like questions that are actually difficult in any way or that players that actually want to know.
Pressured, right? It's a lot of pressure,
I don't care if it's a lot of pressure. Shut up. Stop talking about your feelings. Bro, do you have any much money Jake gets paid? Your feelings. Like, you're paid to be under this pressure. Like, this is your job. Do your job. You know what I mean? Like that would be my excuse. Like, oh, it's a lot of pressure. Oh, f*** you. It's not like you have someone cut open on an operating table here. I'm asking you a question in front of, you know, thousands of people. You think I don't handle that? Like, come on now. Jay, let's go. Like, answer the question. It's not like he's going to get an immense amount of blowback if he just says that, well, we're working on it, right? Even a very simple response, it's like, well, we're looking at large-scale raids. We're running into a couple problems with it for now, but it is being considered, right? Like, that's all we need, right? Like, just something on it. But, like, we don't even get to address, and that's not a lot of pressure. Like, that's not a lot of pressure at all. He can just shove off every question. He's a politician. Jay, if anything, is a politician, right? Like, that's just how it is. He's good at lying to us. He's really, really good at that. So, like, I don't think it's really a pressure thing at all. I think that they just don't like bad PR, and they don't want to be criticized if Jay says something stupid. But all Jay really has to say is, yeah, we're working on it. Soon, TM. Soon, TM. Or, we're not watching on it. Or we're not working on it, right? Like, no, it's not something we're considering because of this reason, right? Do you guys think we're going to get Crimson Desert? Like a release thing at all for Crimson Desert?
I think so too. Because I remember I was watching this video from Anders, and he was just talking about how he found this, like, I don't know if it was like an article, but he was just explaining the news about how Crimson Desert is like pretty much almost done, and that Dokkavi and Plan 8, I think it was, there was the two other games that they were working on, that development for them is speeding up. And they're working on that now that, you know, the bulk of Crimson Desert is pretty much over. And so I think we're going to get it. Like,
you think we're going to get an announcement, though, during the ball?
I've announcement. Yeah.
I've been doing the,
at all.
No, I've been doing the covert, like looking at like the data analysis and what they've said at basically every public thing. It does look like they're kind of hinting at like a Q1 2025 release for Crimson Desert, which would line up with beginning marketing somewhere like anywhere between now and the end of summer would be when they would begin marketing for that. But like, or like at the end of fall, maybe probably at latest at the end of fall. And that's just speculation. But like, again, it's based off their quarterly earnings report and things that they've said. I think it would be really good for them to make their Heidel ball and their Kalfion ball like a BlizzCon.
For I think all their games? Like, yes. At some point, yes. I think that would be smart.
Yes.
But they have to release another game first for it.
That's
to get
my
there.
Point. But like the first step is to just the first step is talk to talk about it, right? I think they got a lot of blowback initially on Crimson Desert when they said it was gonna be an MMO, and everyone was like, well, we're all gonna stop playing BDO then. And then they were like, never mind, it's not an MMO. And so like because they didn't want to kill BDO. And I do not think that we will get an announcement for Crimson Desert at the ball for this reason. I don't think, I think it would be smart for them to, but I think that again, they're just not going to because they don't want to potentially hurt their player base in BDO.
Yeah.
But I would, and if they don't, that's fine, but I would love to see a convention where they do it all together. I'm going to say this, console got its own segment last time. And I know that you guys don't know very much about console, but I'm hoping that console gets, for the ball this year, they remove support for like the old gen console, like the PS4 or whatever. And then they do new gen console basically only. And they update it all. They bring it to the next gen. Would be really, really good for console, really, really healthy. Or a merging of console and PC servers would be fantastic. I think that that would go really well. I think that console players would really like that. There's also BDO Mobile. They do something for BDO Mobile too. Or BDO Mobile has like its own ball. But I'm not sure it's a part of this one this year. Let's see. Off subject of the ball. They removed mounted combat. How mad are we about this?
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't care.
Not mad, just
Hinsworn hunters are down tremendous.
Spin my axes on my horse and now I can't do that.
Yeah, you look like a baboon. Okay. Nobody cares. like mounted combat, yeah, they removed it. No one cares. Like it was never good anyway. And I don't know why they even had it in the game in the state that it was in. Just kind of weird. But it was kind of a niche thing that it's just out of nowhere. They were like, yeah, by the way, we're just gonna remove mounted combat. I think that one thing we forgot to talk about for the ball. Reworks. Do you think we're gonna get the trading rework?
Trading rework? Mm-hmm. Ooh. I don't know.
People are talking about a fishing rework. Why the hell is this being passed around like a street hooker? Like, why are we like, what if fishing who? Like, why? Like, do you guys want a fishing rework? Did they say something about a fishing rework? Because I don't remember there being a fishing rework being mentioned anywhere. Also, they said that they were going to I came out with my infinite potion guide today. This is bugging me. And somebody in the comment section was like, Blue, they already announced they're completely reworking the infinite potions and how the pity pieces drop and all this stuff, blah, 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 for the potions. And they're on the global labs. And I was like, what? That's not actually a thing, right? That person is crazy.
Some Chris Pauly level stuff? Or...
Yeah, they were like, I can't believe you would make this guide. You're like farming for views. They're completely changing how it works. It's just the weekly. They changed the quests. Okay, so what are they doing for the quests? What are they changing for the quests?
I think they're reducing the amount of
that's it, right?
You need to kill.
Yeah, that's it. See, that's though, right?
I thought that's what I saw.
That just a mob reduction. Blue, and shameful that you put out that guide knowing that information.
It's literally the guide is you. Like an hour and a half long.
Misinformation, shame.
Bro, no, I didn't even talk about how many mobs you kill. I just said, here's where you get the weekly. That's it. Like, then, well, like,
if you can source the information accurately, I'm disappointed.
The funny thing is, the comment has like 12 upvotes. I'm like, why are you guys so crazy? Like, what are we talking about?
Mob mentality, baby.
Like, bro, it's like, I can't believe you're farming for years with this garbage guide that, like, now you're going to have to, like, you're misleading people intentionally. I'm like, wait, the only thing that there is like the mob reduction on the global apps, and that changes nothing of my guide. Literally nothing is wrong in the guide because I don't talk about how many mobs you have to kill. I just say, here's where you get the weekly. Right, and unless they're changing the NPC, which they're not, like that, it's crazy, man. It's literally crazy. Okay, so did you guys look at the comments for the podcast? Honestly, we didn't have a podcast last week. So, were there any comments that were troubling to you on any of the like the recent podcasts? Like the last one, like Blonde. I know you read the comments all the time. Were there any that actually bugged you? I'll be honest, you're kind of becoming less hated. Not if less people are watching, but like I'm pretty sure.
When we don't talk about catching mechanics, apparently I'm a very reasonable guy.
Yeah.
we maybe just disagree on some fundamentals, but we kind of got the picture, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you actually are starting to get love in the comments. Like Blonde Bear is radiating happiness. He's clearly in a partying mood. It's crazy. Oh. It's crazy what the relief of no longer having to farm Olens can do for someone.
Yeah, that I was pretty much smile glued to my face for that whole episode because it was a good freaking week for me.
Yeah, it was a good week for you. One thing that we have to address today is that we're getting the DR and evasion change tonight. Right before I leave. Yeah, literally right before I leave. So I literally won't even have time Like, I'm going to do the patch note rundown on it, and I'm not going to have time to flame them for how terrible
the game is. We'll work out all the bugs. Don't worry. When you come back,
yeah, we'll talk about
a whole
next week,
new
yeah.
game.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm still, I will still probably do the patch note rundown next week from a hotel room. I'll probably do it. Oh. Well, I have
in a laptop hotel room
yes.
camera. The,
no,
lit,
I have
the room is lit yellow. Okay,
okay
guys.
Screw you.
You mean from your tent?
Screw you, Blonde. I'm literally going to be
low quality
sitting...
mic and everything's going to be
yeah.
gonna sound like, okay, guys.
It's gonna have the distortion as well.
Screw you, Blonde. I am 100% gonna do it. I've got a really good microphone that attaches to my camera, like my Sony ZV-E10. Uh-huh. So like I will vlog record the recording, and then we can just kind of push it down, and then have me going through the best notes. It's a piece of cake. Patch note rundown is a piece of cake. I love to do it live because I like interacting with chat while the patch note rundown is going on. But like, you know, it'll be missing that. But like, I'll do that while I'm there. Mm-hmm. And I think we're gonna have 2 videos a day while I'm gone. I think I've done enough videos that I think we're gonna have 2 a day. I'm gonna do a few today too.
Nice.
I should be okay. But like, I think the DR evasion change coming. We already speculated on it last week, so I didn't want to talk too much about it this week. But like.
But it's real. What,
yeah, it's real. It's coming. We're getting it now. And by the way, I just want to say, I said, I think it should come out before the ball. And they had already, the funny thing is, and I don't think that this was me at all. I think this was them just seeing the light on the reality of the situation. I don't think that my content had anything to do with it. But I called it. I think initially they were like, yeah, here's the DR evasion rework. We're going to release it in KR first, and then we're going to see how it goes. And then I got up here and I was like, yo, if you don't release this before the ball, or if you release this before the ball, even if everybody hates it, then the ball happens. Everybody loves you anyway. Oh my God. We forget about, we forget that it happened.
Hammer.
Oh my God. A hammer.
A hammer.
And then like that's we're like kids, man. We have the attention span of a gnat. Okay. So like this is the best way to do it. You release it now. And I can't believe they got it out worldwide this quickly. It's really good. It's a W. So big props to Perlibus for getting it out reasonably quickly. I would still love to have seen Korea wait 1 extra week so that we all got it at the same time. Would have been great.
Would have been nice.
Yeah, that like why can't we just wait 1 week? What are we talking about? But it's a step in the right direction on that front. But like, we're very excited about it. What's your most exciting thing about the DR evasion change that you're excited for your class? And not Scholar, Blonde, because they forgot Scholar existed.
PvE tankiness. I'm pretty sure we're all just going to get a lot tankier, which I'm a big proponent of that. I'm at max end game gear. I probably shouldn't die at a grind spot, in my opinion.
die.
Just don't get hit.
Yeah, don't die, guys. Yeah.
Listen,
maybe this is the solution.
You know, I like comfy grinding, and that's a big W for me.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Okay, and Jay, my boy.
Hi, yes. I mean, I always talk about my chat about how, like, someone in my chat earlier, last stream, they were complaining about how they used to be a Zerker, right? So they're used to, like, tanking in a bunch of things. For example, like, Izrahid, they're used to just, like, tanking everything. And then they tagged the Sage, and then they like, died, like, 6 times in the hour in comparison to their Zerker. But, hey, but maybe now, I was talking to them, hey, next week, we're gonna get tank here. So maybe your Sage can finally start tanking stuff. So. And then you won't stop losing your crystal. But at the same time, I feel like if you're dying at Izrahid, you're probably getting smacked by, like, the leg or something, or you're standing in something that you're not supposed to...
So. I honestly don't like being tanky in PvE because it hurts my effectiveness. Really? Right now I have transcended, Jay. As I told you before, I realized that Awakening Witch cannot defend its grind spot because it's a terrible 1v1 class, but it is the safest class in the game for PvE.
You're fighting against,
right?
Dude, who's dueling you for spot in 2024?
No one is duelist. Who said duel for spot? They're here to kill me.
Oh.
I don't care about the spot.
Oh, they're just killing you. Oh, okay.
It's dual for personal reasons.
It's not dual for spot. Dual for kill you.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I'm just going to grind at the most dangerous grind zone in the entire game. And then you can try to come kill me. And what I'm going to do is stand in the mobs and say, come get it. See, because if you if you try to CC me in the mobs, if I die, it doesn't matter to me. I lose nothing.
You should just play. Right? You should just play Sucknova and just press Q. No.
Because Sucknova's not as safe as witches. I need to be able to jump back and forth like a Looney Tune. Hey, come get it. Okay. You know what I mean? In the mobs. So like they come in, they try to grab me, like the bottom that I am. They throw me to the ground and they die from standing because the Valkyr said, "LOL." The only one that's allowed to kill that witch around here is us. You know what I mean? Like that's they get mad. Okay, like those guys, like they jump in. They think that I'm the one sitting on the couch, and then they end up sitting on the couch with me. It's great. So like, and I lose nothing. Either they're gonna lose karma. I can't lose crystals because they tag me. So like, that's basically my new strategy for PvE grinding, and it works. If it makes everybody tankier, it makes the mobs less scarier. I don't like that. I will constantly grind at the hardest grind zone in the game with the highest chance of dying in the entire game. Highest risk. Highest risk. And for this reason. Because it works. Like, nobody wants to lose their karma, and definitely no one wants to lose their crystals. God forbid you go red and then accidentally die to a Volcris, right? Because it doesn't matter. You can have full obliterating Fallen God, right? And you're still going to die to those mobs. It doesn't matter, bro. They're gonna farm your ass.
It should rework that one spot where you're like in your room by yourself. What's it? Mirwax Labyrinth.
Dude, I love that spot, dude. I used to hide in there too.
They really should revamp that whole region and just buff everything over there.
I used to love Mirwax Labyrinth. I still do. The problem is the money is so low that like it's just not worth doing. The worst part is, I was like talking and I was like, see, no one can bother me. And then literally we had people that grinded for an hour, waited for the boss to spawn, and then griefed my boss. I'm rent free.
That's some dedication.
Yeah, I'm rent free. It's insane. I'm literally
rent free. That's awesome.
But like, I didn't mind it. I was
super
like,
fans.
Yeah, no, it didn't matter to me. You know why? Because all those little carapaces, I was just like, okay, I'll just spawn outside. Because I could just turn them in at the next boss. It doesn't matter to me. Like, sure, I missed the drop from the boss itself, but the boss typically doesn't drop me anything crazy. I mean, an ember or two, but, like, it's nothing insane. But, yeah, I mean, like, it's a new strategy, and I love it because the viewers love it, too, because now I'm grinding at a really... They love watching me grind at, like, really monka spots, bro. Like, oh, he's gonna die again. Here we go. He doesn't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's fun, right? And honestly, I was teaching somebody else how to do Dekia Ash the other night. I was teaching Swaggy how to do it. And he was like, oh, my God, how do you do this? And I was like, now, Swaggy, I want you to imagine a chat scrolling and having to read that, too, and manage the reaction cam, okay? And not die while you're doing it, okay? Like, good luck. It's amazing. It's so much fun. I actually, it's like the opposite. I never thought I'd like doing that. I love doing it. It's great. It's fun. I like the high risk, high reward mentality there. I don't like losing crystals. I've lost quite a few crystals doing it, but you know, it is what it is. It's not the end of the world. I just replace them. I make enough money that it ain't the end of the world. The silver's less of an issue there.
Mm-hmm. The learning experience, those crystals paid for it.
Yeah. You know? Jay, I'm curious, you've been doing AOS recently. Is this in preparation for the ranked AOS that's coming in? Are you going to try to go for some crazy,
maybe like my chat was like, oh, road to 2400 or a Solaire Incarnate video series.
Really?
I was like, maybe
that would be crazy.
I've been exploring a lot more PvP because I love Wusa so much. And I think I've explored a lot enough in the PvE scenario to really feel satisfied, but I still haven't really explored the PvP. And I'm sure everybody has that feeling of like you really, it's so fun learning about a class you're so passionate about, and I want to learn more. And the only direction I can look towards is PvP now. That now that like my PvE is like fairly solid now, like I'm confident in my PvE. But now I need to look towards PvP, and I've been having a lot of fun, especially like because, you know, everybody knows that Awakening Wusa's does not have the necessarily like the it's not a Draconia, right? It definitely cannot compare to a Draconia, but it feels good to be able to perform well on the underdog class too. Like whenever I catch somebody
that
in,
is the best.
In AOS, you're like, oh, it feels good.
Yeah,
it feels good
to as get somebody that used to play Awakening DK when she was the bottom rung of the ladder. In terms of like how good she was, It feels so good to beat people because you're just a better player. Holy moly. Like, because that's all it is, man. Because he's playing a better class. There's no excuse. He's dog shit. You know what I mean? I've been doing this. I've been using this excuse for years. If you die to me on Awakening Witch, it's over. You should just uninstall the game. Like, you like, literally, because it's not like I'm super great at Awakening Witch or anything, okay? I would say that, honestly, as far as Awakening Witches go, I'm probably one of the better Awakening Witches that are left on the server of the four of us. But, like, aside from that, but the class is very limited on what it can do. You're just kind of f***ed. I'm certainly not some crazy god of Awakening Witch. So, like, if you die to me, you're just bad. And I love telling people that they're bad. like, bro, because usually it's because they're grieving me. Obnoxious. Blonde, are you gonna try to do AOS? You play like one of the best AOS classes in the game now.
AOS Scholar is so good. It's great. You should try it, Blonde. We should queue.
yeah, you know, it's one of those things where if I'm playing with friends, I'll do it. I just have no personal motivation because I'm just like, it's like whatever. But yeah, I mean, if like I had friends I wanted to play and they'll deal with me being an anchor, then yeah.
We should all queue. Three of us should queue for the Old Moon Podcast team.
Oh god, yeah, that'd be great.
Awakening Witch, Awakening Wizard, and a Scholar, and then
it would just be me flaming both of you guys. The Blonde's like falling out of his chair because he can't stop laughing because I'm the first one that dies, even though I'm flaming you guys. Like, and then it's Jakun trying to carry the both of us. Ironically enough, yep. The PvE guy. Like,
that shit would actually be content.
Unironically, we should have like a podcast episode where we just queue up and do AOS and try to we should try to talk about podcasts like topics while we're doing AOS.
That would be pretty funny. That would be good.
That would be insane. It'd be such good content. Okay, let's choose. We're actually pretty well over time here. Let's choose our favorite. I'm not gonna say which one this time. Do you guys have a favorite outfit that you've been looking at? I can go through them all one more time. Okay.
I already know mine.
What's yours?
It's the witch that looks like Ronnie. She's in the blue. She's the like blue, darker skin.
Oh, this one right here?
Blue little wizard hat outfit.
Oh yeah, she looks great. She's fantastic.
The animation is
sick. Wow. Yeah, it's great.
So good. Watch the animation alone. It's the best part.
Yeah.
Mm.
I played Elden Ring for the first time earlier this year or last year. It was really, really fun. So that automatic win.
Yeah. Jay? Now that you're looking at these characters for the first time because you're lazy and weren't watching, which one do you like the most?
Can you go to the right a bit? There was a, I think it was a wizard or a striker. I couldn't tell, but they were like in orange and black.
This guy?
Is it that one? Yeah. Oh, is it a Musa?
It looks like a Musa.
What class is that? Yeah, I like that one. And he has like the nice face paint. The cool, like, you know, orange and black aesthetic.
Oh my god, he's actually eating. Bro, he's actually eating. Literally insane. I have two favorites, if that's okay. My first favorite is over here. I actually really like this. This Megu's really basic. They didn't do too much with it, but I like that. I don't know, it's just got the fox cat girl aesthetic going on, and I think she kind of nailed it. She's also an Awakening Megu, which I think is incredibly based. Because almost everyone is playing Succession Megu. I like that one. And then I like this Dark Knight over here because she's not wearing any clothing. So that's nice.
It
is what it is, bro. Like, just some good dyes, you know what I mean?
If we ever get a druid, I hope it's like Halsin from Baldur's Gate 3.
Mm-hmm.
Big giant buff like elf guy.
A big burly bear elf.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Okay, boys. Let's do outro and closing thoughts. Remember, you guys are going to have a special guest next week if you guys want to do the podcast next week. Because I will not be here.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do Blonde first.
Hi, I'm Blonde Bear. You can catch me at twitch.tv/BlondeBear where I'm working on my second Pendevo ring. And maybe a second LV-eyed. I don't know. We kind of we got an eyeball the other day, so we have 5 out of 9 again. So we just might go for it. So you can catch me there on, like I said, twitch.tv/BlondeBear.
Right on. And Jay,
closing thoughts is that I hope the Heidel ball brings some bangers and is not a copium ball.
Nothing I'll but also bangers.
I'll also be trying to regularly post some of my AOS matches on YouTube for you guys to, like, if you guys are interested in Awakening Wusa PvP or just, like, want to, like, give me some pointers on AOS and stuff, I'll take all the help I can get, and you can find me over at twitch.tv/JakenVT, V before the T.
Yeah, if I catch you streaming while I'm in Europe, I'm literally just going to keep spamming, "You're trash! You are trash!"
No.
You know, are you going to stream a watch party with it, Jay? Are you going to stream
it's Saturday morning, right? It's 7 a.m., right?
So early. I am going to be streaming the ball itself, just so that we are all clear. Mm-hmm. They gave me the okay to do it. I did it last year, too, and it was a hit. People loved it. So before the ball actually starts, I'll be walking around the venue, showing people what it looks like, showing people around Heidel, introducing people, interviewing people, stuff like this. Of course, this is assuming that there's going to be service. If there is no service, which I doubt, I don't think that they could have the event there if they didn't have, like, Wi-Fi service or, like, you know, cell service of some kind. So, like, I'm hoping that, like, it's got service and coverage that I can use. But, like, assuming it has service, I will be live streaming the ball itself, and then I will have a vlog series. Mm-hmm. We're going to shoot some vlog footage, hopefully, the day before the ball. I'll be able to visit the town. We'll get all of our vlog footage that day of not necessarily the ball setup, but I really want to show people, like, hey, look, this is where the blacksmith is. Here's the storage keeper, you know, like, here's the design of the town. This is what real Heidel looks like. So, like, mm-hmm. I want to do that. And then after that, at some point while I'm in Europe, I'm going to be going to Florence. And the Church of Calpheon is in Florence, as far as I'm aware.
Oh.
And I'm going to try to do a big vlog thing for that as well. Assuming that I have service there, I might do a stream for that too. But aside from that, you're not going to get too many live streams from me over the next couple of weeks here. A little less than 2 weeks. It'll be like 12, 13 days. You'll get like one or two streams from me, but like there'll be IRL streams. They'll be a little different. You will still get hopefully 2 YouTube videos a day, but if not, only 1 video. We should have close to 2 videos every day cranking out on YouTube. But sadly, we won't be really keeping up with the current events, as I can't really record very much while I'm in Europe. Mm-hmm. I will try to keep doing the patch note rundown while I'm there. And when I do the, if I'm able to get the ball stream off, you guys are more than happy. If you guys are going to do a watch party for it, you're more than happy to restream my stream, like, before the ball, because you guys are all just going to be sitting around with your, like, twiddling your thumbs beforehand. You're more than happy to restream my Twitch Woo-hoo. Stream. And that goes for all of the content creators in the category. If you just want to restream what I'm doing, that's totally fine. I do not care at all. So it would be...
Can you do me a favor? I'm just, like, super curious that when you're there, uh-huh. are you able to ask, like, somebody who works there, like, how much is it to rent a castle?
Oh, yeah, I'll ask them. Are there any other questions? Yeah. I'm curious. Ask like, are there any other questions that you guys want me to ask? Like, I'm sure that I will have the opportunity. I had the opportunity last time. I did talk to Jay briefly. And some of the same GM team there and the developers.
Add an LVI to each region, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Can you tell him to buff my class? Just kidding.
Yeah. We will. I'm not telling them to buff Wusa. That's crazy. That's madness. That's not happening. But like, if you have anything in the comment section below the podcast, that you really want to know or something that's bugging you, I can't promise anything. But I can try to take a look at it, and it can always give us content for the future podcast. So make sure you comment on the video below this one. Regardless, from all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, make sure you follow. If you're watching on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, you can listen on your way to work. That's totally fine. Just make sure that you comment on the video, like, subscribe, etc. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, have a great rest of your week, guys.